episode 2 of There and Back Again, Tales from Two Tolkienites.
Welcome, welcome.
I am Elena.
And I'm LJ.
And we'd like to welcome you to our second episode.
Mae Govanan. Which means welcome in Elvish, in case yes. You didn't know.
We're really happy we are doing a second episode.
Yep.
So thank you to everyone who listened to our first episode.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you to everyone who is listening to us now.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to say again, in case you didn't listen to our first episode, we basically have created this podcast because we're both huge fans of Tolkien, and we love and appreciate his work, and we just wanted to share our thoughts and share everything about his world with all of you who are just as interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this episode, our main feature will be an in-depth explanation of the geography of the realm of Middle-earth.
Yeah.
So, we had some listener feedback from somebody who said that they are a bit confused as to where everything is in Middle-earth.
They'd like to know more about the territory.
Yeah, and I mean, from looking at the map, you can kind of try to figure it out, but we happen to be extremely interested into where everything is,
mm-hmm.
and by playing Lord of the Rings online, we become very knowledgeable about it.
It is extremely helpful, which is why you should play, because you will be able to have a better idea of where everything is in Middle-earth.
Yeah, so, we just thought we would talk about more about where everything is in relation to everything, and we'll go from basically for now just where all the key places that were hit in the journey of The Hobbit and in Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoy that. Just some brief things real quick. Last episode, we had a bit of news about Tolkien, and if you're interested in reading more about anything that we talked about, we have posted links to articles that discuss what we talked about on our Facebook page and our Tumblr page, so be sure to check that out.
Mm-hmm. We also talked about characters from Lord of the Rings, what we learned from them, and things they've taught us. So if you want to hear more about that, you can check out our last podcast on our website.
Yes. Also, we only talked about a few characters, so we're going to talk about some more.
We'll definitely be adding
more at a later date. But yeah, go ahead and check that out. We had a lot of fun talking about them.
It was great.
Yeah.
We also decided to play a song at the end of each podcast, and last time we played the song The Road Goes On from Lord of the Rings the Musical.
Favorites.
So we'll be playing some more, and we'll definitely be playing another song from Lord of the Rings the Musical after this podcast.
Yes, and also if you really liked the song and you want to buy it, check it out, hear any more,
it's available on iTunes.
It is indeed available on iTunes. And the song we played last week, The Road Goes On, is the second song. So yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So, if you want to follow us on Facebook or like us, you can visit us at facebook.com/thereandbackagaintolkienites. Also, you can follow our blog at thereandbackagaintolkienites.tumblr.com.
Or you can visit our website at thereandbackagain.podomatic.com.
Yes, and we just created an Instagram. So if you want pretty pictures of Tolkien stuff.
Pretty
showing
nature.
Up.
And
yes, I just posted a picture of Rivendell, which is really pretty.
Perfection.
But if you want to see some nice pictures, you can follow our Instagram at @TABA_Tolkienites. Also, if you play Lord of the Rings online and you would like to send us a message or contact us through there, mm-hmm. we are both in the server Withy Windle. And my character's name is Alianora, Alianora.
And mine is Merlica, Merlica.
Yes, so welcome to our second episode, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Enjoy!
Okay, so on this day in Middle-earth, or more early April, 1418, Gandalf arrives in Hobbiton on April 12th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that...
Adventure's about to go down.
Yep. And that, of course, refers to the start of The Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Yes. And he is arriving for Bilbo Baggins' party.
His 111th birthday.
Yeah.
I can't even say that.
I know.
And in real Earth.
On this day in real Earth.
In the Renaissance, in 1588, Thomas Hobbes was born. He was a philosopher and political theorist. And in 1242, the Teutonic Knights invaded Russia.
Ooh.
Arr.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exciting stuff.
And now it is time for some news.
Woo!
So, just a couple more days, guys, and Desolation of Smaug comes
out. Countdown
the days! Yay! And it comes out April 8th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Going to get it.
I am so excited.
I'm ecstatic.
I want to see it again so bad.
Even though I've already seen it like 10 times.
Yeah.
Oops.
Went to the theater a little too many times.
A little too many times.
Oh, well. It was so worth it. Also, we will be talking more about the Desolation of Smaug production things, and our next episode is our main feature, because it should be good. We're going to probably do, like, a brief review of the DVD.
Yep. Yeah,
and then we will go more in-depth about some concept art and some things, because I have the book from Weta Workshops, so Desolation of Smaug production stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it should be exciting. Also, if you do want any more information about the DVDs coming out, we talked about it a little bit more in our news section last episode, so go ahead and listen to that again. So, moving on, for those gamers out there, you can now pre-order the game Middle-Earth: Shadow of Mordor.
Woohoo!
This game will be available for computers, PC and Mac, PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. And it looks like it should be fun. Apparently it takes place following the Battle of Mordor or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool. And also,
cool.
Yeah, also something like if you pre-order now, you get like a special character to play with. So, if you're interested, look that up and look into it, and I'll be sure to post a link onto our Facebook and Tumblr about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, also, Warner Brothers released a quiz in about what is your title in Middle Earth, and it's kind of promoting Desolation coming out on DVD. And I took it, and it was interesting. It's basically a series of questions on how you would react to different situations in Middle-earth.
Very cool.
And then it lets you know what your title would be, or what you would be known as. And I was known as a Rebel Rouser.
Oh.
And then it had a picture of Thorin underneath. So...
Aw, snap.
Yeah, I guess. Watch out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Female Thorin
you
over
haven't,
here.
You haven't taken that quiz,
have
you?
I know. I need to take it. I'm
well,
so excited.
When you do, we will announce your official
I'll
Middle-earth
probably be,
title.
Like, a gardener hobbit or something. Is that one?
Watch
is
out.
That, watch out, guys.
I don't know if that's an option. I mean, they had pictures of all the characters from Desolation, so I'm assuming it's more...
Yeah, Hobbit
related. But still, it's fun. So also, if you want, check that out. I'll post a link to that on our pages as well.
Another bit of news, there are 8 more Hobbit wallpapers from thehobbitcountdown.com. It's official Warner Brothers, so it's going to be pretty legit.
Yeah.
Pretty nice stuff.
They're really, really nice, high-quality images of different scenes from the movie, different places, and therefore your computer, your iPad, your phone, etc.
I love that.
I know.
That sounds awesome.
They're really, really nice.
Yeah.
In fact, I might go on after we're done and grab a few.
Oops.
But yeah, if you want some really nice, high-quality images, go ahead and check that out. It's thehobbitcountdown.com, mm-hmm. once again.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Also, the 60th anniversary edition of The Lord of the Rings comes out June 16th. It's going to include further corrections and a special slipcase.
Yeah, and that's the book.
Yes.
Obviously not the 60th of the movie.
Not the movie.
Oh my goodness, that would be...
But the book. And
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I might just go and get it.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
It looks really pretty. We'll probably, when it does come out, go and look at it and give a brief review of it later,
mm-hmm.
at a later date. So, yeah.
Sounds good.
Moving on to some medieval news.
Woohoo!
Yeah. There is a castle for sale in France. I know, I want it. And it is circa the 13th century, and it's called Chateau de la Rochepot.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So, if anybody out there is rich enough and is listening, I will post a
Go
link to
it.
That as well.
Go get it.
And if you get it, you should invite us over.
For tea.
Yeah.
Like, every day.
Every day.
We will come. We'll find a way.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Also, for those of you into medievalist.net, I don't know if any of you guys know what that is.
It's an awesome site.
It is fantastic.
It's all historically accurate articles and anything related to medieval stuff.
Anything you could ever want to know about the medieval period, you will find on this website.
Yes.
It is so legit and so historically accurate. It's so great.
I've learned a
lot
from
that site. They have books and travel information and music and articles, videos, everything.
Yeah, their articles and videos are awesome. I've learned so much from that site.
Oh, me too.
It's one of those websites where if you're into that stuff, you'll spend hours.
So watch
anyway.
Yourself. Anyway, there's a new quiz on the website to find out what your medieval profession could have been. I got a minstrel.
You're a minstrel, yes. Weren't you like the court jester minstrel?
Oh yeah, court jester.
And I was royal offspring.
Woo!
Which means I don't have to work, guys.
My lady.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, lucky, lucky.
So yeah, and I think that's about it for news this week.
So now we'll get to our main feature.
Yay! Okay, so welcome to our main feature this week, which once again is an in-depth explanation of the geography of the realm of Middle-earth.
Yes.
Now this is one that we're very excited about.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time actually when we're playing Lord of the Rings online actually looking at the geography of Middle-earth because we find it so interesting that there's different realms for different races. And the different cultures that go along with the realms.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the game, too, is it's pretty accurate in the sense of in order to get anywhere, you need to either ride a horse there yourself or pay to use a horse to get there.
Yeah.
But you need to go to different stable masters so that you kind of have to plan your route ahead of time by looking at the map if there's a certain place you want to get to. For example, we made a couple trips to Rivendell, and to get there, there's actually quite a few other places you have to visit, obviously, to
get
there.
It's a long trek, and you realize by playing the game and seeing how far you have to go, how truly far it is to walk from, or to go from, you know, the Shire to Rivendell, or from Rivendell to, you know, even the Misty Mountains.
Yeah, and I have to say, from playing and from doing our own personal research, just by looking at the map and figuring things out, when we're watching the movies or reading the book and the 8 books and they refer to different places, like, oh, I know exactly where that is, especially in relation.
It makes you much more appreciative.
Yeah. For example, in Desolation, Keeley mentions Evendim, right?
And the Eredluin, yeah.
Yeah, and that is actually
just north of the Shire.
Just north of the Shire, yeah.
Or northwest, rather.
Yes, and it is just below Thorin's Gate, which is the settlement where he would have lived, and that is actually Elven territory.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is
you get some history there, too.
Well, and what's interesting for us is when we were watching the movie, we're like, well, we know exactly where that is.
Yeah,
we know where
it
is in relation to the Shire, and we know where it is in relation to Mirkwood, where they actually were talking about it.
Right.
So, yeah, so we thought that this week we would just talk more about where everything is in relation to each other.
So that we have a better idea of where everything is, and the cultures of the different areas.
And we hope that we can help you just kind of get a better general idea of how far they've traveled and where they are in relation to where they started and where they're going. And we're going to be talking about, just for now, mainly the treks that were taken for The Hobbit and for The Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Yeah. So
here we go.
So obviously we have to start in the Shire.
Of course.
Because everything starts in the Shire.
The heart of all things. Hobbiton is the central area of the Shire. It's where Bilbo Baggins lives. In Bag End. Bag End, just so people know, some people think Bag End is like another name for Hobbiton. That's actually incorrect.
Yeah.
Bag End is just the name of Bilbo's estate.
Property,
of
yeah.
his house.
And Bag End is actually located on the hill,
which is
north of Hobbiton.
Mm-hmm.
And just below the hill
is the party tree.
Is the party tree where
Bilbo celebrates
his birthday.
I'm not even going to try to say it.
Not again. But yes, that is where the big party takes place. Also, that is also where all the hobbits gather to celebrate various festivals.
And Gandalf was usually there to do his firework tricks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which Bilbo grew
also,
up watching.
Yeah, also in Tooklyn, but we'll get there later.
We'll get there later.
Yeah.
So that's Hobbiton. Very kind, nice hobbits, as opposed to some other places where they're not usually as nice. Mickledelving is another place. Hobbiton is actually one of the places that has the biggest amount of exports. It's probably one of the biggest, most populated areas of the Shire.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually three places that are pretty popular. Hobbiton, Mickledelving, which is...
It's more west.
Sort of, it's almost near Needlehole, which leads into
the Irrigoyen. It's about southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to pass through to get to the Far Downs.
Right. And Brockenborings, which is up north, actually near Greenfields, which leads into a whole other area. But we won't get that.
Yeah, that leads into Evendim. But the books never... I mean, they never mention Evendim.
They mention Evendim, but nothing really...
They don't ever travel there, yeah.
So those three are the biggest towns of the Shire. Also, just a fact... A lot of people think that the Shire is the safest area of Middle-earth.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, some of the Elven lands are the safest area of Middle-earth.
Because there are a lot of areas actually in the north of the Shire that goblins dwell in.
Greenfield's pretty dangerous. The Rushic Bog, which is actually near Needlehole and near Hobbiton, actually is crawling with weird animals and slugs and all kinds of nasty things.
Because it's a bog.
Yeah. And the Marsh.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's near the Brandywine River.
Marsh, yeah.
There we go. But for the most part, the Shire is a pretty neat, safe place.
Mm-hmm. So I think we should probably talk about more of what's to the west of Hobbiton and then move towards Breeland, which is... obviously where the next part of most of their journeys take place.
Okay.
So, as we said before, I think the farthest west is Mickledelving.
Mm-hmm.
And over there is basically where a lot of the, like, more gypsy hobbits are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trade that goes on there, as we mentioned before.
A lot of farming.
Mm-hmm. Right above there is Littledelving, which is just a small little village.
Yeah. And then right up north of it is Needlehole, which is, there's a great big bridge there. I don't remember the name of the bridge, but that leads into the Red Luin, which is mostly elven country, but a lot of dwarves live there as well.
Yeah, way, way, way up north of Red Luin is where Thorin's Gate is, which is the establishment that Thorin basically established for all the dwarfs before they reclaimed Erebor.
And where Thorin's
as far as I
relatives
know. I think that's right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Also ruled after Thorin died.
So if you were to go up through Needlehole, you would enter into Elven country, which is Dweland.
And Kelendim would be one. Well, Dweland, yeah, Dweland would be the first. And
Salathorn.
If you're lucky, you would pass through Kelendim, which is my favorite area of Middle-earth,
really
actually. It's gorgeous, and it's where a lot of elves live.
And basically, it's all elf country through there, and then...
Then it starts getting kind of snowy.
And then you pass through the Vale of Thrain and eventually up to Thorin's Gate. But that's just so you know, there is actually Dwarvish and Elvish territory above the Shire, even though they never really travel there. But that's actually where we were talking about before when we were mentioning when Keeley is talking to Tariel in Mirkwood.
So in case you wanted to know where that is in relation to Shire.
It's just right up north, and you can actually
get there through
the Shire.
Yep.
So right below Needlehole is the Rushic Bog, which we mentioned before, which is pretty straightforward. It's a bog.
Yep.
Below that is Waymeet, where most of the farming country is for the hobbits.
Yeah, most of the farming country.
Tuckboro
is right underneath that as well, which is some more farming country.
Yes. And then we get into... Then we're pretty much by Hobbiton at this point. North of Hobbiton is the hill, the Binbul Woods.
Binbul Woods are filled with spiders.
And you have Overhill. Overhill, which is over underhill.
Yeah. Over underhill.
Yeah.
Then you get to Brockenborings, which is more trade, big village.
Yeah.
And then there's a village called Scary, which actually isn't all that scary.
No.
It's a quaint little village.
Even though it is by some caves.
Yeah.
But,
you don't want to go too
it's
far
nice.
Over there.
And then right above that is the Green Fields, mm-hmm. which we mentioned before.
Filled with goblins.
Filled with goblins, and that is how you get into Evendim, mm-hmm. the passage. So we're going to go back to Hobbiton. That was all north of Hobbiton. To the east of Hobbiton is Hobbiton Bywater, which is basically a small little village area that you can pass through if you're coming from Bree to Hobbiton. That's also where the Green Dragon pub
yes.
is located, if you were wondering.
Yes, absolutely. And that's Merry and Pippin's favorite place to eat and drink after a hard day's work.
Yep. Yes, and if you've seen the extended edition of The Lord of the Rings, of Fellowship, there's a big scene that takes place in there.
They're singing and dancing, and that's also where Rosie works.
Yeah, that's where Rosie works. Mm-hmm. And so it's really not that far from central Hobbiton. Mm-hmm. And it's just right, it's like a little below.
So a little below, yep.
Yeah.
And then after that is Throgmorton, which is where Bilbo claims that he walked once.
Which really...
The farthest that he had walked before he left his home in Bag End.
Which is really, really funny, because it is not that far
it's
from Bag End at all.
It's very close to Hobbiton.
It probably is, what, like a 5-minute walk? Not
Maybe
even...
Maybe like a 15-minute walk.
15-minute walk, yeah.
That's... Yeah,
it's really not that far.
It's not far at all.
And right below Throgmorton is Green Hill Country, which is, I think, where it's near Tookland, right?
It is near
Tookland. That area?
I think so.
Or were we more towards,
maybe
like, the Brandywine River?
Yeah, yeah. And then the Brandywine River is also one of Merry and Pippin's favorite places to swim.
Mm-hmm. And that is far east
yes.
of the Shire.
Then once you get to the Brandywine River, there's a bridge, and you cross that bridge, you get to Breeland.
Yeah.
Which is, we're still kind of in Hobbit country here. Right when you get to Buckland, that's the first place, the first stop after the bridge. That's the area where Frodo and Sam lived. So more Hobbit country there.
Yeah. And, this is where the Ringwraiths, well, obviously they came looking for him at Bag End.
Yeah.
But, because that's where they were located anyway. But yeah, this is kind of like it's more of a village too. And
mm-hmm.
I believe Tookland is actually near Buckland, or the Tooks area.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Somewhere near there.
Yeah. Also, yeah, never mind. So, at this point, once you cross and you pass Buckland, you're near the Brandy Hills. And then right below the Brandy Hills is the Old Forest, where Tom Bombadil, who's an important character in the book, though he was cut out of the movie.
Unfortunately.
He's the character. He's funny.
Yeah.
But his house is in the Old Forest,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And right below the Old Forest is the Withywindle River, which is the name of our server on the trip.
Then you get to the Barrow Downs, and they're not very friendly. They're filled with goblins and all kinds of weird wargs and
animals.
Yeah,
there is also a lot of old ruins from the age previous to the one we're on now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do some like exploring, there's actually plenty of things to see there if you were to explore.
Yeah.
Also in the southern Bree Fields, which is right below the Barrow Downs. Right above the Barrow Downs. And it's a farm field and more ruins.
Uh-huh. Then you get to... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say. Then you keep going along the path and you end up in Bree.
Bree
is... Which
is
the famous...
Town.
City town.
Where everything is, pretty much. The Prancing Pony is there.
Yeah, we can go... Well, before we talk about where everything is in relation in Bree, we can just talk about real quick. The northern Bree Fields is just above, which is farming country, and also there's a big ranch there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There's a lot of wolves
horses,
up there.
There's wolves up there, yeah, okay.
And then that leads to North Downs, which is a whole other area of men. Now we're getting into human
area. We're in the race of man territory right now. And in Breeland, there you can only find hobbits in very select few parts. And mostly it's all just race of men at this point.
Most of them live in Buckland. You'll still find some hobbits here and there in Bree and maybe in North Downs, but... mostly there in Buckland.
Yeah. So now to talk about Bree, which is very central in Breeland.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Prancing Pony, if you were to enter at
the gate.
The gate. Which gate is that? It's the west gate.
Yeah,
the west gate. Once you enter through the west gate, you go straight on through, and the Prancing Pony is at the end of the first street. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's actually not centrally located in Bree, and a lot of people think it is. But yeah, it's actually, yeah. It's in the northern, mm-hmm. Northeast part of the town.
There's also a lot of markets, shops,
etc. Yeah. It's a fairly big town. I'd have to say it's definitely the biggest in
Breeland. It's one of the biggest in Middle-earth in general.
Yeah. So the Fellowship
went to Bree.
Yeah, they stopped at Bree, and then they proceeded to go through Bree, down the south, and then out to
Chetwood. Usually after Chetwood, yeah. Then they went from Chetwood to the Lomans.
Yeah.
And
a little bit more about Bree real quick.
Oh, yeah.
There's also several towns and villages in Bree. Mm-hmm. Archdale, Combe.
North Downs.
Is it Staddle or Straddle?
Staddle.
Which are all north of Bree and to the east. And the Fellowship, when they needed to go on, like we said, proceeded to go through the south, through Chetwood, which is like a small forest in Bree, through the Midgewater Marsh, which is a big marsh in Bree, and then they proceeded to the Lonelands.
Yep. And then the Lonelands are filled with orcs and goblins.
Yeah, the Lonelands, as you may recall, is where the Weather Hills and Weathertop is, and this is where Frodo gets stabbed.
By the Morgul Blade.
Yeah. So, just to, make sure you're on track here, so we've been traveling east the entire time from the Shire.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we went from the Shire to Breeland, and now we're in the Lomelands.
So, started in the Shire east, stopped in Bree, went south, and then traveled southeast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, in the Lomelands, we have Weathertop, where, unfortunately, Frodo, like you said, stabbed by the Morgul Blade. Mm-hmm.
And just this territory is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
There's orcs dwell here, goblins dwell
all
here.
All kinds of weird animals.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically all we can say about the Lone Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get to Trollshaws. And, you cross the last bridge. And then you get to Trollshaws. And Trollshaws is where Bilbo and the dwarves encountered the trolls.
Hence the name, right?
Yeah, hence the name.
And now we're starting to get more towards elven country.
Mm-hmm. This is where Arwen met Aragorn and the hobbits when they thought that Frodo couldn't go on any farther. She met them in Bruinen, the Bruinen Gorges.
Yeah, the Bruinen Gorges.
Yeah, and then that's when Arwen took Frodo on horseback, and they rode through the High Moor and passed the Ford of Bruinen and went up to Rivendell from there.
Mm-hmm. So Rivendell in the area of Trollshaws is northeast.
Yes.
So Rivendell is Rivendell.
The elf country, known as Imladris.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of the original elven territories. LJ is a resident elvish history expert, so we will talk more about elvish history at another time, if you're interested.
Yep. Elrond, in case you didn't know, is run by Lord Elrond, son of Yarndil.
Rivendell is run by Elrond.
What did I say?
Elrond is run by Elrond. But I mean, Elrond is run by Elrond.
Elrond runs himself.
It happens.
So anyway,
once you enter,
it's mostly mountains.
The area of Rivendell,
very beautiful.
Yeah, Rivendell is literally a valley.
Yeah,
it's surrounded by mountains on every side.
Yes, very gorgeous.
When you first enter, it's pretty big, so you actually have to travel a ways north before you actually get to where the last homely house is. Mm-hmm.
And the last homely house is where Elrond stays, the House of Elrond.
Yeah.
It's also when Bilbo comes to stay in Rivendell in Fellowship, that's where he stays. He stays in the last homely house, which is used as a guest house.
That's where the dwarves are treated, and that's where they have their meal and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also the balcony where the moon rooms. Yes. Red is the balcony of the last homely house.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then that's pretty much what's there. It's also where...
Also the fellowship is there.
Mm-hmm. It's also where Arwen and Aragorn had their very romantic scene on the bridge in the movie.
It's the bridge you cross right before you get to the last homely house.
Uh-huh. Where she gave him the Evan Star.
Yeah. So then at this point, there are different routes taken. Mm-hmm. Right, literally, directly north of the center of Rivendell leads to the pass into the Misty Mountains.
Woohoo!
So obviously the dwarfs and Bilbo and everyone in The Hobbit went north of Rivendell.
Uh-huh. And they went to the Misty Mountains, which led to the Goblin Caves, in which Gollum was located in The Hobbit, and Bilbo encountered him and found the One Ring.
Yes. And to back it up a little bit, you want to talk about the Fellowship?
From Rivendell, they went south to Eregion. And then Eregion leads into all kinds of stuff. Which, do you want to go on the Fellowship route or on the Hobbit route?
Let's do the Hobbit route real quick and just finish that up, and then we'll go. Because the Fellowship route is obviously much more extensive and involved than
the Hobbit
route is, yeah.
So from the Misty Mountains, they went into... Well, they did the Goblin Caves, and then the Eagles came and got them, and they went into...
Wait, just to back it up a little bit. Yes, so the Goblin Caves are located more north of the Misty Mountains, mm-hmm. and they all escaped and led out into the Gladden Fields.
Right.
Which we actually did a lot of research on, because we were curious, in case you didn't know, Smeagol... /Gollum. Mm-hmm. He was originally a Stoor Hobbit.
Yes. And Stoor Hobbits were...
They were a different kind of Hobbit that are pretty much almost extinct at this point in time, but they lived in the Gladden Fields.
They were almost more like men. They didn't wear... They wore boots.
Yeah, they wore shoes. They were slightly bigger than your average mm-hmm. Hobbit. They had bigger hands and bigger feet.
And they had facial hair as well.
And they did have facial hair, which isn't...
It's not really common for typical hobbits.
Yeah. So Smeagol, since he's a Stoor Hobbit, is originally from the Gladden Fields. So once he found the ring and he slunk off into the Goblin Caves, which are directly next to them.
Right.
So just FYI.
So that's where Bilbo and the dwarves and everyone from the Hobbit ended up going to. They went past through the Gladden Fields.
Crossed the river and into Mirkwood.
Mirkwood. And there they encountered the wooden...
Baeorn is in the area of the Gladden Fields as well.
Yeah. And that's where they stayed overnight.
Yeah.
And then they went into Mirkwood.
And, I mean, Mirkwood, obviously, it's actually... there's, like, several different areas to Mirkwood. Mm-hmm. There's Central Mirkwood, which is where... everybody in The Hobbit went to. But there's also Southern Mirkwood.
Yeah.
The river and the actual forest extends all the way down to Lothlorien. Mm-hmm. Just FYI.
Yeah, fun facts.
But continuing on, we will get to Lothlorien later. Continuing on the route that for The Hobbit.
Uh-huh. They actually went a little bit up into Northern Mirkwood, which is where the Wood Elves are and where Thranduil rules.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie... That's where Legolas and Tariel were as well, but that wasn't in the book. Anyway, from Mirkwood, they went on to they went by the river Esgaroth, which was also called the Long Lake,
mm-hmm.
And that led to
Lake Town. And then, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Lake Town is located more
right by Erebor.
Yeah, right by Erebor, south of Erebor, south of Erebor.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like southwest.
Southwest.
Southwest of Erebor. And then...
And of course, Erebor is where Thorin's original kingdom... It is Thorin's kingdom. Thorin's kingdom. And the kingdom before him was, and where Smaug the dragon
resides. What was the name of the town that Smaug...
It was originally
ruined.
Dale.
Dale, thank you. I couldn't think of it. Yeah. So Dale is literally located mm-hmm. right below, next to Erebor.
Mm-hmm.
And so after, if you continue from Lake Town and you go northeast, you'll hit Dale, and then you keep going north and you hit Erebor. The Lonely Mountain.
The Lonely Mountain.
Yeah. So, okay. So that is the path that they took for The Hobbit.
Uh-huh.
So now we're going to backtrack a little bit.
Backtracking.
So back to Rivendell.
Back to Rivendell.
So now we're going to talk about the path that the Fellowship took.
Okay. So, okay. So they went to Eregion. In Eregion, well, Eregion is kind of more of like a general area. And then once they went through there, they found Moria.
Yeah.
The Mines of Moria.
Mines of Moria, which is part of the Misty Mountains, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, once again, we're going by a map from the Lord of the Rings book I have, as well as the map from Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah.
So if, for whatever reason, you find that we are wrong with something, please correct us.
Please let us know.
We really do want to hear what you have to say.
We want
to
make sure we know.
We want to make sure, we want to make sure we're accurate. So if you have any corrections, let us know. Email us at tolkienites@mail.com, and then we'll be sure to correct ourselves on the next show.
Definitely.
Yes. So continuing, they passed through the Mines of Moria.
Right. And then they went through Dimrildale. And from there, they entered Lothlorien, which is not just a kingdom, but it was a huge area. It covered a large amount of space.
It's very big. It's bigger than what you would typically think.
Yeah, it's almost as big as the Shire.
Yeah.
And it was run, of course, by Lady Galadriel.
Mm-hmm. Also known as the Golden Wood.
Yes, the Golden Wood.
Good Golden Wood.
This is Elf Country.
And isn't where Galadriel is located, is it... Karas Galadon?
I think
Galadon.
So. Yeah, I think.
Isn't that where she's? Here. Yeah, that's where the central area
Wasn't
of it
she
is.
Originally from Nimrodel, I think?
Yeah, she was.
I think so.
But then she. Yeah, I'm not sure either.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll look that up later. But basically, so then they passed into Lothlorien.
Yeah. And they stayed there. In the movie, it seemed like they only stayed there overnight.
They stayed there a
they
long
stayed
time.
They stayed there a long time in the book and rested there. And that was, Frodo said that was the place that he felt the safest. And he hadn't felt that safe since the Shire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But interesting note, because I don't know if you feel like this, but I feel like in the movie, it doesn't even feel very safe.
Yeah, I felt the same way. When I was watching it, it's all, like, blue and white and weird and, like, I mean, I get that it's nighttime, so it's going to be, like, moonlight, but it was still really eerie, and Galadriel was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And in the book, it's the Golden Wood, and it's filled with gold at nighttime.
Just read, if you have a copy of Lord of the Rings, just go back and read the section, because it's gorgeous. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway.
sorry to back to,
Yeah, so then, once they passed through Lothlorien, they came to the Great River. The Great River has a lot of stuff that happens around near there. First of all, it leads to East Rohan, but before that, during that, it leads to the Great River, and then they keep going south along the river till they get to the East Wall. And the East Wall is near Nenhithoel, which is where it's kind of this body of water, which is where Argonath is the two statues that have their palms
they're called
raised
Arnath.
Outward. Arnath. Yeah. And
Nenhithoel is the big body of water.
Right.
It's almost like a lake.
The East Wall.
The East. Yeah, by the East Wall is where Boromir dies.
Boromir dies in Amenhen. That's where the falls of Rauros. I think that's how you pronounce it. I've been trying to learn how to pronounce that forever. Rauros.
Anyhow.
Was where they, Boromir died in Amenhen, but then they took his body and put him in the boat and put him down the river to float up into the sunset.
And there is a...
In the Falls of Rauros.
Yeah, the falls are right at the end of Nenhithoel.
Right. So moving on from there...
So obviously Frodo and Sam cross Nenhithoel to the east towards Mordor.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Fellowship went southwest.
Yeah.
So, do you want to talk about the rest of the Fellowship first? And
yeah.
Then talk
so
about
then
Sam
the rest
and Frodo's
of the Fellowship
path?
Okay. Went down to West Rohan.
West Rohan.
Which is, or southwest to Rohan, which is where Helm's Deep is. Helm's Deep is at the very, very west of Rohan.
Yeah. Southwest of the area.
Mm-hmm. And,
And isn't Edoras the central... Is that the central kingdom of Rohan?
Yes. I'm not pronouncing
it. Edoras. Yeah, I think.
Edoras. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we said, if you know how to pronounce these, please email us or do a recording of yourself. And
Let us know. So then, just some other points that are sort of near Rohan. Dunland is near there, and through Dunland, if you go through Nankurunir, that general area of Nankurunir is where Isengard is.
Mm-hmm.
Isengard, if you don't know, is where Saruman resides.
Isengard is at the very, very bottom of the Misty Mountains. So, when the orcs take Merry and Pippin, they're taking them towards Isengard.
Yeah,
taking the hobbits to Isengard.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
But yeah, so they're the orcs. Once they get Merry and Pippin, and the battle goes down, and Boromir dies, they're traveling west at that point towards Isengard,
yes.
And they're traveling across West Rohan. So that is why. That's why Legolas and Gimli and Aragorn are all over in that area.
Yeah.
Just FYI. So in relation to Rohan, Isengard is just directly northwest.
Mm-hmm. And the whole time...
Fangorn, which isn't that the... That's the forest where the Ents are.
Yes.
Which is just...
Where Treebeard is.
Which is a little bit northeast from Isengard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, meanwhile, Frodo and Sam are going to Daggerlad.
Daggerlad, yeah.
Yeah, which eventually leads south to Mordor
and
Mount Doom.
Yeah.
Rah! So, there's that.
There you go. So, Gondor is next.
Gondor.
Which is also very important, obviously. It's where a lot of stuff goes down. The whole area of Gondor is directly located south of the area of Rohan.
Mm-hmm.
But to the east of Gondor, the northeast, is where Minas Tirith is, where the battle takes place, and where the main city or kingdom
is. Which is where Boromir and Faramir are also from.
Yeah, and which is where Aragorn is destined to rule over.
Yes.
And Minas Tirith and that area is actually directly south from the Dead Marshes, which is where Frodo and Sam go through with Gollum on their way to Mordor.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that covers
everything. I think that pretty much covers everything. I mean, there are so many more places we could talk about in Middle Earth. Those are basically just the most famous, most well-known, etc.
Mm-hmm. But if you want to know...
If you want to know any more about any more regions, if you want us to go into more detail about Arduin or...
Also, we should have said this before we even said anything about Middle-earth. So you know, Middle-earth is divided into two sections, Eriador and Rohanion.
Yeah.
And Eriador covers the Shire, Bree...
Eriador,
Lowlands, Trollshaws, Misty Mountains.
Eriador is everything that is east of the Misty Mountains.
East and north. And then... West and south is Rohanion.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mordor.
Mordor.
Actually,
Gondor.
Gondor and
Lothlorien is all Rohan.
Yes, and Lothlorien.
And Rohan, obviously.
And
so, I guess that's pretty much it. I'm sorry if we were rambling at all, but it is a lot of ground to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And in our listener feedback section, I'm actually going to talk about two different kinds of interactive maps that you can play around with. So if you ever want to look any of this up for yourself or see where anything is in relation to or get more information, I will be talking about that next. So,
Cool.
Let us know what you think about what we've talked about. If you have any corrections for us, if you have any pronunciations for us, don't hesitate to message us on Facebook, email us at tolkienites@mail.com, or anything, and we'd be happy to share what you've said on our next episode. All right, so on to some listener feedback.
Yay!
So we received an email from David, and he says, "Hi, Tolkienites. Great job on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it, and I hope to learn more from you about Middle-earth and all of the Hobbit characters as you continue your podcasts. I found something interesting online tonight. Did you know about this Google Earth interactive map of Middle-earth and the Hobbit? Also, have you seen this site? It was listed in my Art of Hobbit book. You probably have heard of it, but I just thought I would check. Thank you, David." All right. Thank you, David. So, the first link that he talked about was a link to a Google interactive map of Middle Earth, like he said. And we both checked it out, and it is awesome.
Yes, it's so cool.
I actually had never seen it before. And I know that it was created in promotion of The Hobbit by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And it is really, really cool. It's very interactive.
Very detailed.
You can see basically everything we talked about more exclusively concerning The Hobbit. Versus the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But still, very, very informative, very interesting. There's some dialogue from the characters.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool. And to check that out, you're going to want to visit middle-earth.thehobbit.com. Mm-hmm. Once again, that's middle-earth.thehobbit.com. And the other site he was talking about was the Weta Workshop site, which I have checked out, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, it's where they have and they sell all the replicas for Lord of the Rings and Hobbit-related items. Yeah. Also, they have a lot of information about their workshop and them in general, because they're the ones that make all the props and everything.
Uh-huh.
So that site is www.wetanz.com. Once again, that's www.wetanz.com. So thank you, David, so much for sharing.
Thank you.
So just another thing, as I mentioned before, about interactive Lord of the Rings maps, there's also one that I found that they just kind of released that's more of a book-accurate interactive online map, and the link to that is lotrproject.com/map. Once again, that's lotrproject.com/map. This one's more book accurate. It goes over everything. It has lots of information, and it follows Tolkien's original plan for everything. So it's really cool to check out, too.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, as far as listener feedback goes, if you want to let us know anything, email us at tolkienites@mail.com. You can send us messages on Lord of the Rings Online, as we said before. Ask us any questions.
Share any information you want to.
Yeah. Or just say hi. If you have any corrections for us, if you want to add to anything we've talked about previously, if you want to share your opinion, go ahead and let us know. Once again, you can email us or you can message us on our Facebook page, which once again is facebook.com/thereandbackagaintolkienites, no spaces. So thank you so much for writing in, and we really appreciate your feedback.
Thank you.
Looks like we have come to the end of our second episode.
Aw.
This one was fun.
Very fun.
I know we talked a lot more during our main feature this week than we did last week, but we had a lot we needed to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah. Tune in next time, and we'll discuss something else.
Yeah. So, next episode should be good. Like I said, we're going to talk a lot more about the movie making of aspects of Desolation of Smaug, because it is coming out soon, and we're very excited.
Very, very excited.
Yeah.
So,
if you have any more ideas about what else we could do, like I said, we both cook, and we are musicians, so we have Tolkien recipes, we have music notes.
Yep.
Yeah, if you have any more questions or you have any ideas,
let us know. Share
different
everything.
Things. Yeah. Also, if you have an idea for a section that you want to create and you'd like to contribute to our show, you
please
can always let us
share.
Know too, and we will put you in.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, once again, as we always do, we're going to close with a quote and a song.
Mm-hmm.
So, this week's song is.
This week's song is The Song of Hope. From Lord of the Rings, the musical.
Mm-hmm. It's also known, it's a lullaby, and it's also known as the Song of the Traveler.
Aww.
Which we thought would be appropriate since we talked about the geography of Middle Earth today.
Yeah, perfect fitting.
Yes.
And this is when Arwen sings to
Frodo.
Frodo, and Frodo's sleeping, and she's healing him.
Mm-hmm. And Rivendell.
And thinking about Aragorn.
Yeah. So thank you so much again for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yes, so farewell and until we meet again. Mm-hmm. Nover.
Na luego van a dream. If you're going to have a complicated story, you must work to a map. Otherwise, you'll never make a map of it afterwards. J.R.R. Tolkien. Thank you.
hope is whispering still, tender, nurturing, gently stirring, memories unfurling in the mind. Warm wind from a far forgotten country, long left behind. Hidden paths, lonely and afraid. Let the sunlight free the heart, forever bound to roam, and let the waking